Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about on today's broadcast chaos on Capitol Hill. We all understand what has taken place there to a degree. Multitudes have been seeing only the Marxist media's vantage point of it. Most are just hearing what the Communist Network News would have us to understand. Most believe today and waking up this morning that somehow, some way, it's the problem of President Donald J. Trump that he brought it on. Somehow, some way, the media is couching it and portraying it as being something that Trump invited, that Trump has instigated and agitated to be brought about. But the very simple question is, as we answer the question, answer the very simple and profound question, why did this take place in the first place? Very simply, ladies and gentlemen, is the people by the millions across America simply want their votes counted. Let's face it, this election was stolen. This election was a part of a coup d'etat to overthrow the American government, to bring in a global reset, and that global reset is to destroy the constitutional republic that we have. It was designed by those that are in power, that as Joe Biden as being simply the Trojan horse. Joe Biden has not any idea of what's going to take place down the road. In fact, I say that Joe Biden will probably be in the office as president for 90 days, maybe 120 days, maybe even 180 days. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, states like Pennsylvania, there were over 200,000 more votes than registered voters. The battleground states instituted voting rules and laws and regulations just days before the election. They were not instituted by the state legislature, although there were about 80 legal justifiable suits brought by the Trump administration, the Trump campaign, the reelection people in some of the states, and the Supreme Court and the appeals courts and the local courts all cast them aside as though they had no value and said there was no standing. So as a result of that, we had a headwind building, a steam building among those across the nation, the constitutionalists, those that are Republicans, conservatives, those that are conservatives and Christians that were concerned. It was not a group of, quote, good old boys that were there to cause problems. It was simply that they were there to be heard. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a letter that was posted on Facebook by Leanne King and her husband right here out of Jacksonville. Statement says, and I'll read it briefly, and then I'll want some response from our two main guests today. Just back from Washington, D.C., and despite what we hear from the MSNBC, let me tell you how it went down. I was in D.C. on one of the rally as one of the rally speakers. After giving my part, like everyone else, my wife and I waited for our president to speak. What can I tell you, the writer says. It was incredible. I have never seen anything like it. There were people as far as my eye could see in every direction. Most of the people weren't even able to see the stage because the overflow wrapped around the opposite side of the Washington Monument. Nadine and I left the speaking area early in anticipation of greeting the president as he was planning to march down the street. Remember, our president has done that before, marching to a church with the Bible in his hand. The D.C. police also anticipated this, and they blocked off the roads and with their cars and lights on. Now, this is what the MS, that is the Main Street media, is not telling you, and Nadine and I saw firsthand. The crowd that stormed the Capitol building had been there for at least 1 hour before Trump ever finished his speech. Some of these people came prepared, dressed in riot gear. The rest of the people started marching on the Capitol dressed with normal and casually walking later on. In short, President Trump did not incite anybody, the mob or anyone else. The mob was already there long before he ever finished his speech. Most of the people had no clue what was going on the Capitol when we got there. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is this was, I believe, orchestrated for the purpose of pointing the finger at President Donald J. Trump and for having the reverse effect rather than our representatives and our senators standing up and taking a stand for our right for our votes to be counted. They buckled, they knuckled, they submitted to the awe of the hour and got what the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrat, Communist Party wanted to have accomplished. I believe we have another guest on the line. If you will, go ahead with the question or comment, please. Derwin?
Yes. I'd like to talk about, well, I just heard at the top of the news, top of the hour, that Trump said there will be an orderly transition. That means that Trump has given up.
Well, I don't know that he's given up. I think that he has seen the handwriting on the wall. All of the social medias cut him off. He cannot communicate by Twitter anymore, cannot communicate on Facebook. They've all cut him off for any further communication on social media. And he recognizes the grave scenario that our nation's in as a result of this taking place, albeit he was not part of it, had no orchestration behind it. But what else is the man to do? Now, I was just speaking with someone this morning, and they said the high potentiality of the possibility to be forming a third party. And I said, what about calling it the Trumpers Party? But I don't know if that's where he's headed or not.
If we lose the election, even when Trump was in power, think of what the Democrats will do when they are in power. We will never have another honest election, period.
And as you got to
Pence, let me finish. And as to Pence saying that he doesn't have the authority to overturn an election, well, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that he must accept fraud, that he should condone fraud. How can you just accept fraud and say you're a Christian? Pence is a fake. He's no Christian, no conservative. He's a traitor, just like Rubio and Rick Scott and Kelly Loeffler. This is really a sad situation for the USA. We are going to be like Cuba. 61 years ago, Castro took power and still in power. So we should do the Insurrection Act or martial law, because we cannot allow communists to take over, because they will never let go.
That's a good thought and a good comment. Congressman, how do you respond to our caller's comments and suggestions?
Well, first of all, I heard that on the news, too, where Trump said that there will be an orderly transition. That does not mean that he has surrendered. That does not mean that he has given up. I believe because the news is taking that out of context. They're not telling you his entire speech that he said. And in fact, yesterday he said more than once, I will not concede. I will not give in to this fraud. I will not give in to this election that was stolen. But when he says there will be an orderly transition, I believe what President Trump is saying there, you have to take the entire statement in its context, is that on January 20th, when that time comes, if all avenues have been exhausted, and they have not at this point, there are still some lawsuits that are pending before the Supreme Court, which in the next week or so are going to be heard. They're on the docket there. It's not where they can say, no, we're not even going to hear it. It's already on the docket. So I think what Trump is saying is that after all avenues have been exhausted, if at that time it shows that he cannot be elected president, then there will be a smooth transition. He'll walk out of the White House. He won't stand there and have to be escorted out by police or by the military. It will be a smooth transition. Now, I think he's also saying it should be and will be a smooth transition should he be sworn in on January 20th, that it will continue the transition, continue his presidency as it is now. Now, what I am still unsure of, oh, let me say this, Dr. Youngblood, I'm sorry, this is the point I wanted to make. A friend of mine called me this morning as he's driving back from D.C., and he said he was there and heard the president's speech. And after the president's speech, they all started walking towards the Capitol. And he said everyone was looking at their phone to see what was the news saying about it. And he says simultaneously, everyone around them, their phones went blank. They had no Wi-Fi access at all. It went down. And he said it went down for several minutes, anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes. There was no Wi-Fi at all. Anyone all around them as they were walking towards the Capitol. And then suddenly it came back on. They're not sure what happened during that period, but it had to have been a coordinated and designed incident to not allow any Wi-Fi at all in that D.C. area. And I'm still unsure as to why some did not vote to object against Georgia and Pennsylvania. You know, those staunch conservatives like Senator Lee out of Utah, he voted to accept it.
Yes.
I just don't understand it. And it makes me wonder what exactly were they voting on? What was presented before them to vote for? But it had to have been pretty clear because we have Senator Ted Cruz, who voted against it, and the incoming Senator Tubblefield, he voted against it. I'm just flabbergasted at what that vote all stood for.
Yes, well, I want to get to that in just a moment and talk further along that line. Randy, while you're still there, what do you see? What are some of the solutions? Can you give us some succinct thoughts as to solutions for where we go, where we are, and where we go the days, weeks, and months that are before us? What are some of the solutions to what we're faced with? I'm looking at an article. It says Democrats know Constitution was violated, but they don't care. This is from Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. He gave a major speech. He said the Democrats don't care. They don't want to look into it. They'd rather just belittle 60 million or more U.S. citizens and call them names, say it is a conspiracy, make fun of the people that are all supposed to they are all supposed to represent. For example, he goes further. During the campaign, Vice President Biden got about 55 people at an event. President Trump got 55,000 in the same one-day rally. He said President Trump increased his vote with African Americans, increased with Hispanic Americans, won 19 of the 20 bellwether counties, won Ohio by 8, Ohio by 8, Florida by 3, got 11 million more votes than he got in 2016, and the Republicans, House Republicans, won 27 of the 27 toss-up races, but somehow, some way, we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden, the guy who barely left his house, won this election. Maybe, just maybe, 80 million Americans, he says, both Republican and Democrats have their doubts, and 60 million Americans think the election was stolen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's Jim Jordan's statement. But Randy, what are some of the thoughts you have as far as solutions to what we're talking about?
Well, I think you're right. I think a couple of things. And I didn't hear much of what Congressman Hill had said. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear him when he was speaking, but I hope I don't state anything that he's already stated. Officially as of 3:45 a.m., I believe, when they ruled, America's officially a banana republic at this point. I think any honest American Democrat, Republican, Independent, or otherwise knows that. Now, they're going to use what happened at the Capitol and future frustrations of Americans who are going to raise up, they're going to use those to come after our First Amendment and our Second Amendment rights. So you will see a clampdown on these things. The hope is all the snakes in the swamp are exposed. Stand with Trump, including Mitch McConnell, Senator Graham, which I think everybody knew were, although Graham talked a good game as a Trump supporter, and many others, Loeffler, all those people. So we know who the bad guys are. And I think
if I could jump in for just a moment, Randy, one of the things that Lindsey Graham did, he lost it. He literally lost it on the floor late last evening, and it was replayed again this morning. He said, I've gone along with Trump for all of these years. I think he's a good guy, but right now I cannot walk any further with him. Our words to that effect. He basically trashed Trump publicly on national television this morning.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham is an opportunist. Listen, he was against Trump until Trump was good for him. He stayed with Trump while it was beneficial, and he jumped off as soon as he needed to. That's just using someone. He's played politics long enough to know, just like Mitch McConnell. What I hope is Americans don't forget Mitch McConnell just got reelected, but we have to primary these guys in 2022, 2024, and 2026. We've got to think the long game. We've got to identify those people that need to be primaried. Donald Trump Jr. spoke yesterday and said something very similar, and they said the Trump family won't forget this. I hope that Trump, whether he needs a third party or just takes over the Republican Party, because like he said, this is no longer the Republican Party. This is Trump's Republican Party. Here's the hopeful news. We've got 70-something million voters. Yes, we don't control anything. So they're going to try to clamp down on our rights, our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights, et cetera. They move too far too fast. They may get more than what they have. Those 75, 80 million people may raise up in a way that they don't want, and frankly, that I don't want. This is my America. I want to save it. I want to save it without violence. I want to do it through the legislative process and elections. I think that can be done. I think that we have to have the courage to primary people against these folks at every level, the local, state, and federal level. And I think that Trump will come out and campaign and help that happen. I think that he'll, talk about it and talk about him starting a media group. But if not, we have to have conservative news media in place that we can battle against the propaganda and the Pravda of the USSFA now. So I think that the fight is going to be harder, but I think that Americans have to take the time to take the fight back. And I think that enough Americans really have been deprived enough that at some point when their comfort starts getting impacted, they're going to raise up. And we're seeing this happen now. The frustration level that you see across this country with millions of people driving represent a huge amount of people that didn't take the time or couldn't take the time to get there. So every one of those 1 million people that Mike was talking about that were there, there are probably 100 people, I would say, or at least several dozens of people that feel exactly the same way. So that, I think a sleeping giant has been awakened, and Trump has made that happen because people are realizing that the media and how corrupt the government is, how corrupt the DOJ, the FBI, and all these groups are. I think America has awakened to the fact that, no, it's not conspiracy theory anymore. This is reality.
Reality. Congressman, I've got an article in. What Randy was saying is exactly right. We have awakened, I believe, the sleeping giant. And I believe one of the things that needs to come into conversation and play with our discussion today, looking at an article by Franklin Graham, he says, the United States sins are a stench in the nostrils of God. And he goes further to say in this statement, he says, after the election of Joe Biden, who supports the killing of unborn babies almost without any limit, voters in Georgia apparently have given two senators seats to Democrats who are part of the demonically driven abortion agenda. He goes further and says, we are in trouble. This is Franklin Graham. We're in trouble. I believe God's judgment is coming for the sins of our nation and are great, and they are a stench in the nostrils of our Creator. Congressman, I believe that you're in the same position that I would be in. I am, just horrified with the thought of where we're going. Randy was just talking about the fact that our Bill of Rights, our freedom of speech, our religious liberties, our right to keep and bear arms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all now on the limb to be either squashed completely, eviscerated, annihilated completely, or limited greatly. But I believe that what we're seeing, if Joe Biden is sworn in on the 20th of January, I believe what we're seeing is the hand of God with the progressive, increasing progressive judgment of God upon a nation that's banned God, banned the Bible, banned prayer, and basically taught our kids in college and universities that America is horrible, that there's no such thing as a capitalistic republic. There's no such thing as a constitutional republic. And so, therefore, we need to dispense with anything that's called Americanism. Do you see that as the potentiality, Congressman?
Well, first I'll say I do agree with Franklin Graham that what we are seeing in America is a stench in God's nostrils. Mm-hmm. We have turned our back on God.
Yes.
As a nation. This nation was founded on Christian principles. This nation was founded for the purpose of building a Christian nation that would preach the gospel.
Yes.
And we have turned our back to that mandate that was given to us by God. And so what we are seeing is God's judgment in process. We saw it beginning with, I believe, that the abortions that have taken place in the United States is part of God's judgment. I believe that this LGBTQ movement that we're seeing, that is only made up by less than 3% of our total population, but the media and everyone else is trying to make it seem like they're almost a majority. That is a judgment on America. If Biden goes into office, that is judgment on America. Now, the Bible shows us as an example of how God operates, what he does. There have been times past in the nation of Israel when judgment was placed on that nation. But God is faithful, and he is just, and he is true. And when his people cry out to him, he always brings righteousness back around. How long will it take? We don't know. But we do know right now that it does not look good for America. And unless we turn back to God, it is only going to get worse.
Yes. In fact, I'm looking at a headline here says America's difficult path into 2021. The article starts with one paragraph that's so profound. As of last night's result in Georgia, the Democratic Party will now be able to run roughshod over the other half of our country's citizens. It's a clean sweep of power, money, and influence. The mainstream media made it possible, along with the CIA, the FBI, and the corruption of the deep state that pulls all the levers of power. At the surface, we see cheering by half of the country that doesn't understand what the open borders mean, and et cetera, et cetera. It goes into detail of what is going to take place under a Biden administration. And so I frankly believe that it's based on what the scripture says. It's very, very clear in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so what I want our listeners to understand today, Congressman and Randy in particular, want us to understand that what we've sown for these years in the realm of the nation's sins of banning God, banning the Bible, banning prayer, and everything that's called good and godly been cast aside, we are now going to see the reaping of the whirlwind as a result of sowing to the wind. And I am fearful of where we're going, not shaky fearful in that I'm afraid of the future, but I'm fearful that what we're seeing is the hand of God bringing his judgment on a nation that said no to God. Randy, do you have any final statements or thoughts to add to the dialogue and discussion today?
Yes, I would just say that you're absolutely right, and I think that we need to seek, obviously, God's face. I've done a lot of praying. I think a lot of Americans that are Trump supporters, and really, let's take Trump out of it, constitutional patriots that are supporters of our founding yes. fathers, our nation, and methods, did a lot of praying. I think at this point the time is ripe, though. If I can encourage your listeners to do any one thing, and people across the nation do one thing right now, because the election fraud was so prevalent and great, I think we have a great opportunity to take our time now and at least put the energy into trying to fix these machines and the election results so we have a fighting chance in the future to actually win back, take seats, and take back our nation without using our second God-given Second Amendment right. I don't think that's where anybody wants this to go. I think that our fellow brothers and sisters across the nation, and the violence has got to – we've got to take control of another method, if at all possible. We've got to take back this nation through fighting. But when we don't have equal justice and we don't have mechanisms in place, true investigations, then you're going to see more agitation. And I pray that that's not the case. I pray that these legislators understand that where they're driving these people to, and they're creating the hatred, the divide, and the anger. So I think a lot of prayer, and I think the time is right to urge, like members of our Congress, like Mr. Hill that you have there, to enact serious election reforms and to change out our voting system with these machines, things like that. They need to take control of that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir,
yes.
For giving me the platform today.
Yes, Randy, thank you so much for joining us today with the dialogue and discussion that we have talked about, the chaos on Capitol Hill. Congressman, let me ask you a question. We've got just a couple of minutes to go on our broadcast, but the question that I believe some listeners may be asking and not understanding, my question to you, and I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinion, did Vice President Pence have the authority to refuse to certify the battleground states' electoral votes?
I would say no, he did not have that authority. And I'm reading Article 2 of our Constitution right now, and it says the President of the Senate, which is Vice President Pence, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, upon all the certificates and the votes shall be counted. All he did was to present it for it to be counted. It does not give him any authority to reject or accept them. So that's how perhaps someone else can read into it where it does say that he can reject it. But if you just read it straightforward there, it says that all he is to do is to open them and present them, and they are to be counted.
Yes, and I've read one article that says that that is true, that also adds to it and says that in doing that, if evidence is that there's fraud that has taken place or wrongdoings based on the election people that's out of the context of the legislators' directions and or authority, that he had the authority to simply say these are faulty, these are fraudulent, we cannot accept them, and then move from there. But one of the things that we close with, Congressman, I believe that we are faced with the fact that if Joe Biden is sworn in, that we're going to see some major, major things like the national mask mandate, the national vaccination being forced upon the people, the religious liberties and the freedom of speech being diminished, and the right to keep and bear arms being eviscerated. What are your thoughts on that? We've got about 15 seconds.
Well, all we can do right now at this point, Dr. Youngblood, is pray.
Absolutely.
As a body, we have to pray to the faithful and true God to have mercy and grace upon us.
Absolutely. Congressman, thank you so much for taking your time to be with us today. I pray that you'll be blessed today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again, we face the issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.